This is the Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, author and host of the podcast. Join me and listen in as I chat with authors writing on the less gritty side of crime. You won't find graphic sex or violence. You will find intriguing plots, engaging characters, and entertaining writing. Welcome, listeners. Welcome, listeners, to the Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, author and host of the podcast. Joining me in the corner today is Esme Addison, author of A Spell for Trouble, the first of the Enchanted Bay Mysteries. Welcome, Esme.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So tell us what your sleuth, Alexandra Daniels, is up to in A Spell for Trouble.
Well, she has come to North Carolina after being in New York. For the majority of her entire life. Her father's recently passed. She's quit her job. And so she's really kind of at a turning point in her life. And she is invited to spend some time with her aunt and her cousin. So she's hanging out with them, working in their herbal apothecary. And someone is appears to have been poisoned by one of the products in the apothecary. And the aunt is charged with a crime. And of course, she can't let that stand. And she begins sleuthing because the local detective, who is very cute, however, thinks that he's gotten the right person.
Now, you mentioned Bellamy Bay's in North Carolina. Was that inspired by a real town?
It's not a real town. It's not inspired by a real town, but the location would actually be what is Sneed's Ferry. It's halfway between Wilmington, North Carolina, and Jacksonville, where there's a Marine Corps base, which I actually lived at for a while. So very familiar with the area, love the beaches. Bellamy Bay itself is just probably really an amalgamation of like different beach towns that I've been to over the course of my life.
Now, life in a Carolina beach town is very different from life in New York. So what are some of the challenges that Alex faces as she tries to make that adjustment?
Well, the first one is that she has to understand that herbal remedies are considered an effective medicine. That's a really big thing for her because she comes from this background where it's just, you know, traditional Western medicine. You know, her father, who was a police detective and police chief, raised her when her mother died. And so he's just a very kind of factual, by the book person. You know, doesn't believe in any sorts of, you know, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, doesn't believe in any of those things. And so she kind of grew up in a very kind of by the book, had a very by the book lifestyle, I guess. So she goes to the small town and, you know, people are flocking to this herbal apothecary, and she doesn't understand the appeal or even if it's, you know, an effective medicine. So that's probably her biggest challenge. The second one is that she comes from this really, she was a risk analyst, and was working 60 hours a week and very high stressed and hoping to get a promotion. And so then she moves to this little small southern town, and it's a very, you know, it's a big change. It's a slow pace of life. And that takes getting used to for her. She has to really stay busy. So she jumps in with the family and says that she wants to work in the herbal apothecary, which kind of puts her in the midst of everything. Those are probably her two biggest challenges.
Now, risk management consultant's not a typical job for a cozy heroine. So what is a risk management analyst? How do you become one?
Right. Well, I mean, she's not practicing, so I wouldn't say that she is that now, but that definitely was her past. I just wanted to put her in a position where she was, she always kind of viewed things from the point of caution and, you know, maybe looked at things very critically, because, you know, part of her arc, I want the readers to see how she goes from this kind of very tightly strung, anxiety-ridden person. Anxiety because she's always looking for risk. She's always looking for dangers. And so she has to learn that she needs to live a little. She needs to relax. And those are the things that she will hopefully find in Bellamy Bay.
And an herbal apothecary is also not something you see commonly.
No. I know
you yourself have some knowledge of herbal teas, at least. Can you tell us some about that?
Sure. So I have three sons, and my middle son was born with allergies. So my husband was in the Marine Corps. We were in Okinawa. My son, who is now 12, was born there. He was born with, he was allergic to everything, dairy, peanuts, soy, shellfish, like everything. And so I had to just learn how to minimize anything that was going to happen to him. So I, you know, that was when I got into organic eating, you know, just very natural ingredients, things like that. But then I also looked into the medicines. And so when it was time to give him something, I would research, well, are there natural alternatives instead of just going to the drugstore to buy things. And that's how it started for me. And after a while, it becomes not really addictive, but it's like, I think I can find something to fix that symptom. Let me check. You know, there's an essential oil for that. Or there's an herb for that. There's something I can make. And I like to at least try, you know, give it a day or two to see if it helps before I call the doctor or go to the drugstore. And that's how I kind of got into it. And so I've been doing that for about 12 years.
Now, that's certainly 12 years of experience is certainly a lot of experience. Although personal use is still a little different from running an actual business. So what kind of research did you do into the actual business of selling herbal medicine?
You know, I actually talked to a couple owners. I know people that run, I don't think that they would call their store specifically an herbal apothecary. That might be a little too limiting just in today's society to be financially viable. But, you know, kind of, you know, nature food stores or stores where they have herbal teas and different things like that, just health, kind of like a health food store. So there's a place that's nearby, and I talked to the owner about that. I mean, she has every kind of herb or a loose like tea that you could find and anything. So it honestly, it is kind of like a herbal apothecary, I guess. But I talked to her about just kind of the ins and outs of running the business and the things that are involved with it, which is really interesting because that I didn't know anything about that aspect of it. So that was actually like fun research for me.
You have a favorite herbal remedy?
I mean, I have a couple that I use a lot. For example, you know, the common cold hits the family all the time. And whenever someone has a sore throat, I use Manuka honey or Monica honey. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. I use that. I use a few drops of oregano oil, which is a very strong antibiotic, antiviral herb, peppermint oil, essential oil, which is numbing on contact. It's also antibacterial, and essential oil of sweet orange, which has vitamin C. And I actually make that a couple jars of that every cold season. And whenever my kids get sick, I give that to them, but I also give them elderberry flower, elderberry syrup and zinc, mega doses of zinc. And usually that will stop a cold if you can give that to them like in the first like 24 or 48 hours. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it will decrease symptoms, and sometimes it doesn't because the whatever they have is just too strong. And then I'll just go to the drugstore and get some Theraflu and some, you know, Tylenol for the fever and things like that. But, you know, it is a hit or miss thing, but it just, you know, I like, that's probably my favorite one. And it's actually pretty effective. And I use that for myself as well.
Now there's one other aspect that makes your sleuth different than any other sleuth that I've come across, and that's mermaids.
Right.
So how did you think of combining mermaids with murder?
Right. And that sounds crazy, right, when you say it out loud? when I knew that I wanted to do a cozy mystery, because I do write other genres, but I love cozy mysteries. As a reader, I'm just a huge fan of cozy mysteries, and I love them so much, and I knew that I wanted to write one myself. And I was thinking about the different ideas and what I would want to do, and I kind of glommed onto the idea of doing like a Polish-American family, because my in-laws are Polish, and I hadn't seen that done before, and I thought it would be kind of interesting And I would love for my mother-in-law to be able to read the story about this family that does all the recipes that she does and has the family meals and things like that. I thought that would be like an interesting thing to do. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna use the Polish family, Polish culture, and I wanted to see if there's any sort of, then I decided that I wanted to be paranormal. And I think I always knew there would be paranormal elements, some sort of magic world building. I wasn't quite sure what. I do like witchy cozies, but you know, there's a lot of those. I wasn't necessarily sure that's what I wanted. So I started researching Polish history. Didn't really see anything that caught my attention. And then I started looking at Polish mythology, and I found that myth of the Mermaid of Warsaw. And I was just like, oh my God, this would be like bananas if I could create a cozy mystery with a mermaid. And I just got so excited. Like, I was so excited when I thought, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. And I created like this whole proposal. And when it was pitched, you know, everyone was like, the mermaids aren't going to work. One publisher was interested, one editor was interested, but she said, you know, I like this idea, but we're going to need you to tone the mermaids down. Like, can you make them witches? can you do that? And I was like, well, let me think about it. And then I thought, well, you know, and I try to be very realistic, even though this is fantasy based, you know, it's like, if this was the real world and there were women or people that are descendant from mermaids, and they say they lost the ability to shapeshift. So they're just humans, but they still have certain powers, healing abilities. Maybe they can still command the water because that's their element. I said, people would see them and think that they were witches. So I thought, okay, I can do this. I can say, yeah, I can make this kind of create the story in the context of like a witchy cozy, but they're going to have this background, this backstory that is a little different. So that's kind of how it came to be.
And for those of us not familiar with the Mermaid of Warsaw, can you tell us a little of that backstory?
Okay. I don't have the, actually have written a blog about this and I give the dates and everything, but you know, I can't remember if it's like the 1400s or 1500s, something around that period, but there were some fishermen noticing, they're in the Vistula River, which runs through Warsaw, and they noticed that their fish were being set free in their nets, and they, I guess, you know, they hid at night and found this beautiful mermaid was setting their fish free and causing them, you know, financial difficulties and things like that. And the word kind of spread that there was a mermaid causing all these fishermen trouble, and this merchant trapped her and was going to start, I guess, go on the road or kind of make a freak show out of her. And she started singing for someone to find her and set her free. And like one of these fishermen set her free, and she was so grateful. She promised to protect the people of Warsaw and the town, you know. And that's the story. And like I went to Warsaw last year to visit my in-laws, and like, you know, before that, I just thought, okay, this is a story. You know, it's an old myth, there's nothing to it, but there's mermaids everywhere. Like it's on magnets when you go to the shopping center, there's statues everywhere, it's on t-shirts, it's like this huge part of Warsaw culture. And and I saw that, I was like, this is great, because I'm going to write a story about this. You know, but I loved it. And you know, who doesn't love mermaids? You know, it's such a fanciful idea, and I've had so much fun creating the story around this.
And what other aspects of Polish culture play a role in your mystery? Because your character is very much in touch with, I mean, her Polish culture is part of who she is.
Right. Well, so she's, you know, she's Polish-American. Her father was not, and he's the one who raised her. But she kind of grew up just in a traditional, when her mother was alive, she would visit her aunt and her cousins, and they just, lots of Polish food. It's probably the strongest element of the culture. Lots of Polish food, but, you know, the aunts uses some Polish words occasionally, you know, and it's just kind of like the typical story of any, besides the mermaid part, you know, of any family that has come to America and been here for generations. You know, they're still in touch with their kind of their cultural roots, but they're still, you know, American. But so it's, you see it mostly in the food and things like that, but they have a very strong tie to their culture through the fact that they are descended from the Mermaid of Warsaw.
And so what's next for Alex?
Well, I'm working on that as we speak. That deadline is coming up pretty soon. And I'm very excited about the idea that I have. I'm not going to say anything. But she basically, the next book starts 3 months after the ending of the first. So it's about July. So the book starts in May. The first one begins in May, June, July. Yeah, and so it's about July, and she's been in town, and she's comfortable with everyone. She's kind of found her place, and she's working in the store, and a mermaid festival is being planned, and there's a lot of stuff that happens around that. But so she's in the middle of helping, and she's very comfortable and happy with her decision. So she's in a very good place. But of course, something horrible happens, and and she's in the middle of it, and she has to, of course, fix it because the cops aren't helping. You know how they are in Cozy Town.
Absolutely. And speaking of Cozy Towns, where can people buy the first Bellamy Bay mystery, A Spell for Trouble?
Well, you can find it everywhere books are sold, as the saying goes, but Amazon, bookshop.org, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, Target online, all those places. Right now, the ebook and the audiobook are out. So also Libro, FM, Audible, iTunes, all those places. The print book was supposed to come out May 12th, but because of what's going on with the quarantine and distribution issues, it's been pushed back to July 7th, I believe. So, and at that time, you'll be able to find it. And they're always at all the Barnes and Nobles, and they may be in Target as well. But you can definitely order it online anywhere.
And where can readers connect with you?
You can find me on esmeaddison.com. And then I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at esmeaddison, A-D-D-I-S-O-N. And I'm also on BookBub and Goodreads.
And you're on Instagram, right?
Yes, I didn't mention that, yeah. And it's also at Esme Addison. So the same username every single place. Make it easy.
And I'm enjoying your Instagram posts. They're very creative.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Did you see the cake?
I did. I was jealous and hungry.
I love that. It was beautiful. And it tasted really good.
Oh, and I have if we ever get off of lockdown and they start having conferences again, I'm actually staring at a magnet with a mermaid perched on a shell throne that says Okinawa. That's for you. Ooh. If I ever want to go anywhere, to give it to you.
Oh, thank you. That would be amazing. That would be amazing. And I want us to have a glass of whiskey.
Absolutely.
What is your favorite? I know you must have a couple favorites.
I'm a huge bourbon fan. Koval is my favorite. That's probably the number one. But I'm flexible when it comes to bourbon. I'll try any of them.
Okay. Yeah, I love your series, and you know, I actually got into drinking whiskey because of you. There's another series out there too. But yeah, I've always been a wine girl, and then got kind of into craft beer, and I stopped short at you know, whiskey. And I read your book, your series, and I was like, I gotta see what this is about. And I actually I was at a conference, and I actually ordered something, some whiskey, and had in there. I was like, I'm gonna read the book at the bar and drink my whiskey. And I did. I was just like, so you've given me to drink. But now, so it's an interest. I like visiting distilleries, and you know, like, and trying different whiskeys and things like that. So no, I love it, and I love that about your series.
Is there a particular distilled spirit that or other drink that Poland is noted for?
Vodka, of course.
Oh, true. I didn't think of that. So maybe we'll have a whiskey/vodka tasting.
Yeah, and I have to say, when I went to Poland last year, I was doing keto, and I was not a vodka drinker. And my mother-in-law, bless her heart, she was so concerned about what she could feed me, because she'd made all these cakes. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm doing keto right now. So of course she made me all. I'm actually a pescatarian now. But at that time, she was like, well, you can eat kielbasa, right? I'm like, yes. So she gave me so much kielbasa and like homemade like pickles, which are low carb, and just, you know, whatever she could find. But when it was time, like in the evening, and you know, she wanted the whole family to get together and have a drink. And so we discovered, like, she was looking at her different bottles and she's like, vodka has no carbs. I was like, really? And I looked at my husband. I was like, I'm not a vodka drinker. And he's like, try it. So I did. And so that has been added to my list of things as well. I'm not keto anymore, but you know, I was never a vodka drinker, but I'm making my way through the spirits.
Wow, sounds like you have a pretty awesome mother-in-law.
Thank you.
All right, and thank you for being a guest on the show today.
Oh, thank you. I had fun and it was nice to talk to you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in for another episode of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. My guest today was Esme Addison, author of A Spell for Trouble, The First Bellamy Bay Mystery. I'm your host, Alexia Gordon. Until next time, goodbye.
You've been listening to The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. Thank you for joining me for another chat with an author writing on the less gritty side of crime. A new episode is out every other Wednesday. Subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform, and if you enjoy the show, please leave a 5-star rating and review. Follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at @podcast_cozy and on Facebook at The Cozy Corner Podcast. This has been your host, Alexia Gordon. Thanks for listening. Until next time, goodbye. Thank you.